Hello, everybody. This is Bible teacher Mark Browning coming to you again from our lake house in Kentucky. We bought a lake house and we use it sometimes, and then we also use it for VRBO and Airbnb. So we're here getting some stuff done to it. So I'm giving a Bible lesson via Zoom through the help of James Taylor. And we're doing a generic Bible lesson so that we'll have these in the hopper. So if we ever do something later, they'll be there for us. So last week, we started talking to you about four truths every person should know. And I'll read all four of them. We focused on the first two last week, and we'll focus on the last two this week. But I'll read all four of them and rehearse for just a minute. The four truths every person should know is, number one, God created and loves the world. That's the first truth everybody needs to know, that God created and loves the world. We did not evolve. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by, there's no words to describe God. There's no words to describe him. There's no way to comprehend the fact that the universe doesn't have an end, that there's no, you can't number the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, but God created it all. The Bible tells you very plainly that God made the world and everything in it. He made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things therein. Can I get an amen? Amen. And now not only did we find out that he created the world, but he loves the world. And we spent some quality time talking to you about that. And then the second truth every person should know is, although God created the world, although he loves the world, through Adam and Eve's transgression, they gave the control of the world over to the devil. His name, he was a fallen angel. His name was Lucifer. He's now known as Satan in the Bible, and he became the God of this world. And if you don't know that, you are not paying attention, because our world is evil. It's, and there's evil everywhere, and he's not even trying to conceal the evil anymore. I think he's blatantly promoting evil, the stuff that's going on with our children and stuff that's going on in the transgender community and all that nonsense that's just ridiculous. God made us male and female. God made us in his image, and he made man, male and female created he, him, them. You know, people get mad about that, but I mean, you know, you got to hold to the truths of the Bible. And I think one of the things I need to say about this Bible lesson is that I'm coming straight from the Bible. If you don't believe in the Bible and you don't agree with the Bible, you're not going to agree with me. So, you know, but we don't have to, you know, we don't have to hate each other, but I'm coming to you from the Bible. I'm holding forth the truth that the Bible is the infallible, holy word of God, and it is the only place you can go to get absolute, pure truth. And that's a good place for Teresa to say amen. Yeah. But again, if you don't believe in the Bible and you don't want to go by what the Bible has to say, you're never going to agree with me and you're not going to like me. But I have to tell you that the Bible has transformed my life and impacted my life, and I found it to be true. I found what it says and what talks about is real, that if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do receive eternal life. And it's about Jesus Christ from cover to cover. He's the star of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was Jesus, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So I just felt impressed to make sure everybody understands that we're never going to get along if you want me to go outside of the Bible to agree with you, and you're not going to get along with me if you want to go along with the Bible, if you don't want to. But the Bible is the greatest book ever written. It's the greatest story ever told. And it's a story about God's love for humanity. And the Bible very plainly teaches that the devil became the God of this world. And one of the things that I'll say this one more time, another reason why I'm not embraced broadly in the Christian community, is I don't believe that God is working through the devil to work out something good. I think Teresa was saying something today that people think that faith is just, how'd you say it? I can't remember, but you
just blindly trusting.
People think that faith is blindly trusting that whatever's going on in your life is part of some plan God has for you. That is not faith. I'm glad you turned the radio on to hear that. Just blindly thinking that everything that's going on in your life is some plan God has for you, and you're just trusting in that, is not faith. The devil will destroy you if you believe that. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have that life more abundantly. That theology, that doctrine has rendered the church just weak and powerless, and it just doesn't gel with the Holy Scriptures, especially when you read the New Testament and you read the verses that I'm presenting to you. It all ties out together. God's good. He loves the world. He created the world. He sent Jesus to conquer Satan. And then we're saved by our faith in him. So here we go. The third truth that every person should know, and we're going to focus on these next three and four, is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Again, this is something that makes people mad, because if you don't want to embrace Jesus, then you think you can get into heaven some other way. And, you know, what about all the Muslims, and what about all the Buddhists, and what about, you know, all the people that have never heard the gospel? And I told you last week that Romans says none of us have excuse. None of us have an excuse, because God's eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen by the things that he has made. Whew, can I get an amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is the Savior of the world. And we're going to develop that. And then the fourth truth that every person should know is the world is saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Boy, that's, these are four things everybody ought to know. And again, all this is coming out of the Bible. And so for you to get some benefit out of it, you're going to have to acknowledge that this is real, and that this is true. And you're going to have to respect what's in the Bible. If you have no respect for what's in the Bible, you're going to move on down the road and wait for a Keith Urban song to come on later. But I'm telling you right now, these are four truths everybody should know. And these are four truths that are very plainly taught in the Holy Scriptures. You know, I'm a Bible teacher. I don't know what you call me. I work for a living. I didn't go to seminary, but I read the Bible. And so, you know, it's in there. I figured it out. If I can figure it out, everybody else can too. So, all right. We talked about one and two, and spent most of our time towards the end of the Bible lesson last week talking about the fact that God was the creator and he loves the world. We told you that the devil took possession of the world and he's controlling it. Jesus came and conquered him, and now he has all authority in heaven and in earth. But God has to work through people in order to see his kingdom progress or prosper or grow. God has to go through the Adamic authority that was placed here at the very beginning, and that's why he needs the church to be the church. We have to go into all the world and tell people the good news. We have to go into all the world and preach and teach. And real quick, we'll go to Mark 16. I want to read Mark 16 towards the very end, and then I'll get back over to what I want to talk about today. Mark 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Notice it doesn't say God will do this. See, again, it's not that hard. It's just not that hard. And see, it's because I just read the Bible for what it says. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. God's not going to cast demons out now. He's not here. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They would, if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. God's waiting for us to do what Jesus did for us. And that's win our authority back. And through our faith in him, we're children of God. We're made in Jesus's image and likeness, and we have the same Holy Spirit he had. So let's go over to point number three. The third truth every person should know is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I'm going to take you over to Matthew's gospel, chapter 26, Jesus has just finished the Last Supper, and they've gone over to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's finished the Last Supper, and he's gone over to the Garden of Gethsemane before he's crucified. And verse 38 says, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" Verse 39, "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying," listen to this, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now think about this a minute. Here is, from other Bible writers, from other gospel writers, here is the Word of God who's manifested in the flesh in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying and asking God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from him, which demonstrates a couple of things. One of the things it demonstrates is that Jesus was fully God and fully man. He knew what it was like to be angry. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be frustrated. He knew what it was like to hurt. And so he's asking the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If it was possible for there to be another way, and God didn't let Jesus off the hook, then God the Father would owe God the Son an apology. You see that? But God the Father doesn't owe God the Son an apology, because Jesus Christ was the only way that mankind could be saved. Why is that? Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the only person who's lived on the earth without sin. He's the only person who's lived on the earth whose nature was God. He's the only person who's lived on the earth that had perfect, sinless, divine blood. And so his blood is the only blood that qualifies to cleanse man from all of our sins, past, present, and future. Now, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And these are some of the most amazing verses of scripture in all the Bible. And I hope you see that. He fell on his face. See, he fell on his face. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." The cup didn't pass. The cup couldn't pass because he was the only one that had the ability to save all of the world. Think about the pressure that was on him. Think about how much pressure that was to be in that position. You know, I get nervous over a 4-foot putt. I watch these guys in sports that get nervous over a free throw or coming to bat in the ninth inning with two outs, runners on second, third. But think about the fact that you're the only person that can save everybody. And if you don't follow through with it, we're forever lost. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Man, if you're riding in your car and you're on your way to church, just say, thank you, Jesus. If you're at home, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Man. So I just wanted to start out with that because Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, let me give you these verses. 1 John 2:2. Again, all these verses are in the Bible, in the New Testament. 1 John 2:2 says this, "And he himself is the," in the New King James says propitiation, and that's a fancy word. What it means is, "And he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Got that? "And he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Everybody, the whole world. The whole world is the whole world. John 1:29. Let me give you these verses. John 1:29. Keeping everything generic. I don't want to talk about too many current events because these programs can air anytime. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Again, this is going to make some people mad because some people think they get to go to heaven because they're good people, and you know they're not as bad as some of the people they see on TV, and they know they're not as bad as a lot of people in Washington, D.C. They know that. It's hard to be worse than that, but that's not the way it works. You got to embrace the Savior. Remember last week's lesson? Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. We got to recognize that we're ungodly. I'm ungodly, you're ungodly. And we get to come in by the grace of God and receive God's righteousness and God's grace and mercy in our lives, right? All right, now look, I love this verse, 1 Timothy 2:5. This is a good one. 1 Timothy 2:5, I love this verse. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is it? The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Oh, man, that's a good one. Now, I know some of y'all, let me remind you again that all these Bible lessons are on our website, lifeinchristchurch.net. And I give out a lot of verses. And so you can go back and listen to these again, and you can get your Bible, follow along with your Bible, and let the Holy Spirit show you these verses from the Bible, and you'll be able to see them with your own eyes. But you're hearing them right now. Let's read that again. This is one of my favorites. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom for who? How many? All, everybody, all. Now, here's the famous verse about this. John 14:6. Here's the famous verse about this. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, listen to this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's not a way. He's not some way. He's the way. And let me explain this to you again. Let me make sure everybody understands this. You know, we went through Easter season recently, and I saw on TV where some folks in the Philippines were actually, what they do in the Philippines, some of them actually get on a cross and get crucified. See, that's ridiculous. That's silly. You're getting on a cross and being crucified with carnal, sinful, contaminated blood. That's why your blood's no good. That's why my blood's no good. I'm not any better than anybody. Nobody. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The reason why Jesus had to get on that cross, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The reason he had to be the one on that cross is because his blood was pure. His blood was sinless. His blood was divine. In fact, there's a verse in Isaiah that says that the blood that was spilled on the cross was paid double for any sins that will ever be committed. That's the Creator's blood. That's the only blood that would qualify. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'll tell you another story about this. I remember I was watching, you remember the old program Larry King Live, the fellow that had those suspenders, and he would have guests on, and it was on CNN before I knew about Fox and some of those other more conservative channels. Joel Osteen was on one night. Larry King challenged him on this. He said, now, Joel, there's no way you can possibly believe that unless you believe in Jesus, you don't get to go to heaven. He said, what about all the Muslims? What about all the Buddhists? What about all the Hindus? What about all the blah, 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 blah? And, you know, Joel Osteen backed down. Bless his heart. I'm not against Joel Osteen. But if it had been me, all you have to say is quote what Jesus said. Say, you know what, Larry? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's another thing that's going on in our world now. We got a lot of people that would call themselves Christians and are no more Christians than I'm an astronaut. They're not Christians. They wouldn't know one verse of the Bible. They go to church for culture reasons, for political reasons, for social reasons. They don't know any verses in the Bible. They go through some religious ceremony. It's what Paul talked about when he said they hold a form of godliness, but they deny the power in it. They don't have, there's no power in it. They're not Jesus believers. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus. But I'm telling you, all you got to do is say, look, I follow Jesus. I've accepted Jesus. I'm known as a Christian because that's what Jesus is. Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian. And he said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. I'm going to ride him out because I'm telling you right now, everything he said has come to pass. When he said that they was going to whip him and beat him and crucify him, and on the third day he'd be raised from the dead, that's exactly what happened. Everything he ever said came to pass. Again, this is going to cause persecution and tribulation. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to act like I'm some tough guy. It bothers me. I mean, I've had to deal with rejection and persecution, and it bothers me. I mean, I don't like it, but I got to tell you, I'm just telling you straight up, I know why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I know why he's the only way to the Father. I know why he's the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, because he was God. He was manifested in the flesh. He was fully God and fully man, and his blood's the only blood that can pay for anybody's sins. Amen. Can I get an amen? All right. Now, there we go. Now, the fourth thing that makes people upset too is the fourth thing is Jesus is the Savior of the world, but the world is saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Got that? You're not saved by works. You can go to church and get baptized in water. You can pay your tithes. You can put money in the Salvation Army basket. You know, but that doesn't get you into heaven. You got to receive what Jesus Christ did. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So let's read these verses. The classic verse is Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Romans 5:2. Watch this. Romans 5:2. Through him, through Jesus, through him also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, faith and grace are the two things that are necessary to be saved. The grace is provided by God. Even the faith is. The faith is provided by God because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the grace of God brings the salvation to us, and the faith of God causes us to believe what Jesus did for us. John 6:28. Then they said to him, listen to this, this is so cool. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? That's a good question, isn't it? Isn't that a good question? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, say 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. Is that what he said? No. Did he say, climb up a bunch of steps on your hands and knees till you're bleeding? Cover yourself up with sackcloth and ashes? Sacrifice 4,000 goats and 5,000 lambs. Don't eat any fish on Friday. Is that what he said? Jesus answered and said to them, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. See, some people are all, I mean, I'm trying to pick on everybody, because including me, because it's so easy to get over into a works mentality. Just getting baptized in water don't make you a Christian. That's just an outward sign of what should have already happened in your heart. That doesn't make you a Christian, getting baptized in water. Going to church don't make you a Christian. Now, if you believe in Jesus, you ought to hook up with a good church. You ought to be baptized in water, but those things in and of themselves don't make you a Christian. It's Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Man, that's beautiful. Look at this, Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That ties in 3 and 4 right there. Titus 3:5 and 6 tie in truth number 3 and truth number 4, that Jesus is the Savior of the world and that the world is saved by grace through faith. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then 2 Timothy 1:9. By the way, this truth brought great persecution to the Apostle Paul. I could go through all the things that happened to him because, see, this was a radical truth. See, everybody thought you had to get saved by, everybody thought you got to heaven by obeying the Ten Commandments and obeying the law, and then we found out nobody obeys them. Nobody. Jesus came along in the Sermon on the Mount and said, even if you're not doing them, if you're thinking of them, you're guilty of them. So, I mean, that throws everybody off, you know, any man out there that knows what I'm talking about. Amen. We've all had thoughts we wish we hadn't had. We may not act on stuff, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to explain that anymore. All right. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. These are some, oh man, I'll tell you what, this is the only thing really that brings me comfort anymore. It's just reading the Bible and teaching it. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now I'm going to finish over in Acts 15:11 and then give you a little background on it. Acts 15:11. It'll sum it up over here in Acts 15:11. So Peter, who's, you know, done some great things and who's been known to do some bad things, Peter is over in Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit tells him to go and preach the gospel to Gentiles. In that time, it was just sacrilegious to the Jews. You weren't even supposed to go in the house of a Gentile. And so the Holy Spirit had to show him that what he's called clean, don't you call unclean. And so this man named Cornelius, he was a Roman soldier, a well-to-do guy, prayed to God, and he sought God, but he wasn't saved, because you got to get saved by hearing about Jesus. In fact, let's turn over there to Acts 10 first. Let me read that to him, because it's important. Let me read this to you. I know some of you. Again, this is the reason why, and I don't know how many people go to the website and listen to any of this. I don't know, but we're going to keep doing it till Jesus comes back. Amen. If I know this stuff, I feel like I'm obligated to tell it to people. That's all I'm telling you. I'm obligated to tell it to you. You can do whatever you want to with it. But there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now listen to this. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. But you know what's missing in his life? He was generous. He prayed. He feared God, but he wasn't saved. An angel appears to him and tells him, I'm going to pick up the story because of time. An angel appears to him and says, Cornelius, your prayers have come up as a memorial before God. Send over to Joppa for a man named Peter, and he's going to tell you words whereby you will be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Salvation comes by hearing the message preached. Cornelius was a good guy. He prayed. He was devout. He was a giver, but he wasn't saved. So Peter is given a vision, and Peter recognizes that, hey, the gospel's for the Gentile too. And he goes over there and preaches to Cornelius, and they all get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what happens? Religious church people don't like it. They said, how in the world could you go over there and eat with that guy and fellowship with him? And Peter rehearsed the story to him and said, look, I only obeyed God. God showed me what he called clean, I shouldn't call unclean. And he said, I went in there and preached the gospel to those people, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit just like we were, and they spoke with tongues. Uh-oh, don't turn the radio off. So he took abuse for it. He took abuse for it. And so that this is a great turning point in the book of Acts. They had to realize that everybody, remember? And if you think about it, God so loved the world, not just the Jew. God so loved the world, the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So Peter had to defend himself. And then he sums it up with this verse in Acts 15, 11. Ready? Here it is. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Let's say that out loud, Therese. Let's say it out loud. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Man, let me tell you something now. That's revolutionary. That right there was life-changing. That altered the world. See, that changed the whole world right there. That changed the whole world. Just like when Martin Luther got the revelation that the just shall live by faith, that you don't go to heaven because you do certain things, and that brought about the Reformation and the Protestant movement, because God had to reveal to him that the just shall live by faith. Said another way, the just shall live by faith in the grace of God. You can't earn your way to heaven, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Folks, these have been two really quality Bible lessons, real basic Bible lessons. And listen, I'm going to say something that's hurt some people's feelings. I call them basic Bible lessons, but I'd say less than 5% of the Christian population knows anything about it. I'm telling you, I had Sunday night Bible studies at my house, and I'm telling you, the level of scripture knowledge in the church is pitiful. And that's why I want to keep coming over here, because in doing these things, because see, I always think about myself. I could have lived my whole life and never heard this. And so I want other people to hear it. And so let me just go through them one more time, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Here are the four truths every person should know. Number one, God created and loves the world. Number two, through Adam's transgression, the devil became the god of this world. Number three, Jesus conquered the devil, and Jesus is the savior of the world. And number four, the world is saved by grace through faith. So if you're listening by radio or internet, and you're ready to receive Jesus, and you recognize that he is the only way, and this is a big one right here, what I'm going to say to you, and you recognize that you're ungodly, you got to recognize you're ungodly. Doesn't mean you necessarily have done bad, terrible things. It just means that compared to God, we don't measure up. We just don't measure up. Every day, I don't say kind things to everybody every day. I don't. I don't think kind things every day. I don't. I wish I did. I want to, but I don't. And God's kind all the time. God's merciful all the time. God's good all the time. So that's the reason why he can't judge you based on your conduct. He has to judge you based on Jesus. And through Jesus, you are perfect. You're perfect because Jesus is perfect. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm so glad of that. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. So if you're ready to understand that, then all you got to do is receive. The Bible says, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Say this prayer with me right now before you change your mind. Say, dear God, I want to receive Jesus. I recognize that I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. And Jesus is my Savior and the Savior of the whole world. I'm calling on his name. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, you are my Lord. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And again, go to our website, lifeinchristchurch.net. We're going to upgrade this Four Truths Every Person Should Know. Print these lesson sheets out. You can hear these sermons more than one time. I listen to them. I preach them, and then I go back and listen to them, and I like them. Amen. I'm not good at much, but I've got an ability to share the Word of God with people. So thanks for tuning in. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.